If you disobey the rules, you get cut off.
Ain't nothing gonna happen.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back, and I want to raise a question. The number, first of all, to dial 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. We have a couple lines open, 888-914-9149. Here's a just, I think, a provocative question. Do multiple ear piercings spell a midlife crisis? Gen X and older millennial women are increasingly splurging on multiple earlobe and cartilage piercings. Some are awakening long dormant wild streaks. Others are reasserting their identities. Now, this is, as I say in the Wall Street Journal, this is not a religious question, or it's not being asked in a religious way. But I think there's something interesting to look at here, just human nature being what it is. And I think we could add to this question tattoos, so body art. And the basic question is, does this indicate that there's something going on, perhaps in midlife, that would see an uptick like this? It's 11 a.m. on a Tuesday when the needle slides cleanly through my flesh, Michelle Ruiz, who wrote the article, says, I'm in the back room of Inkside Out Tattoo Parlor with a new friend of mine by my side. In lieu of Pilates or lattes, we, two mothers of a combined seven children, are getting third and fourth holes in our earlobes shortly after camp drop-off. It feels, to this 39-year-old writer, like dancing on the edge. So this is Michelle Ruiz speaking. She's the lady who wrote this article. There's a thrill to that moment when the piercing happens, says Aya Kanai, head of content and creative partnerships at a certain company, which reported 140 times more searches for cool ear piercings over last year. Up until I was 40, I had the same single hole in each ear, said Aya. Now, at 43, I can't stop. She currently has 8 piercings and is plotting a tiny sword through her cartilage. Pain is not an issue. She said, I did IVF 3 times. I could put a needle in my eyeball if you told me I had to. Multiple ear piercings are resurging among Gen X and older millennial women who first sprung for second holes at the mall in fits of 18-year-old rebellion. Some are awakening long-dormant wild streaks. Others are cathartically puncturing their pandemic-induced weariness. Since December, Jillian Rice Maupin, an attorney and mother of 2 in Alexandria, Virginia, has added 1 new hole in her left ear and 2 more in her right at the local parlor. At home, she reopened the cartilage piercing of her youth. She said, you're locked in your house with your kids, and all of a sudden, that aspect of your identity is 95% of your life. She said that her piercings send a message. And the message, in her words, is, wait, I'm not just a mom. I'm still young, and I'm still cool. And it goes on. It gives a series of different sort of anecdotes. This woman is 34. This woman is 48. This woman is, how old is this one? Late 30s, 39. And it just gets into... not only like just looking at the data about the searches online for cool looking piercings, and this would extend as well as into tattoos, but it raises the question, is there some phenomenon, and maybe it's something of more recent origin, maybe it's just because of the times we live in, that this kind of thing is happening. So I think it's an interesting question. And what does that mean? Well, if we can look at it from a sociological standpoint or consider it from a cultural standpoint. We live at a time when tattoos now are very, very prevalent. I was thinking about this and talking with my wife. When I was in high school, I didn't know anybody with a tattoo. In fact, I can't think of anybody in my high school. The high school I graduated from, I think, had about roughly 2,000 students, roughly. And I really don't remember ever seeing any student, boy or girl, with a tattoo. Now, granted, I graduated in 1978, and times have greatly changed. Now I think it's far more common. But even just tattoos in general, just very few people in the mainstream, and I'm not talking about, say, military guys or, you know, maybe some fringe culture like bikers or something like that, but just the mainstream of humanity in those days didn't have tattoos. By and large, it was just an unknown phenomenon. It wasn't common, so much so that I don't remember ever seeing it. But something changed. And I don't know exactly when it changed. I'm wondering, was it the 90s? Was it maybe into the 2000s? But clearly there was a dramatic shift in the direction of body art in the form of ink, tattoos, body modifications in some cases, and then, of course, piercings. And I've never quite fully understood what the meaning is of all the multiple piercings. And so, you know, never having had my ears pierced, I can only wonder, I can only conjecture. And I think it's true that generally speaking, it's mostly women who have their ears pierced, but even that's not so true anymore. A lot of men do. But I've often wondered to myself, what does that say? What does the person who has multiple ear piercings, and we're not even getting into the nose piercings and the belly button piercings and the tongue piercings, or any of those things, but just the ears. I've often wondered, what message is that intended to send? What is that supposed to tell me? When I see a man who's got his ears pierced, or maybe it's just one ear, I wonder what is the message? And I don't know the message, and I suppose it may be different for a different person. Each person may have their own point that they're trying to make. I think back in the day when few people had multiple piercings, few women did, and virtually nobody had tattoos, my sense of it then, say back in the 70s, was that if a guy had his ear pierced, he was sending a message, and it was a particular kind of message. But now, I mean, I've known heterosexual men who are clearly heterosexual and maybe married with children who get their ears pierced. And I don't understand it personally. I don't judge it, but I also don't understand it. And so maybe if you've got some insights, what is it about the mid-30s that induces a mom to have, you know, 3, 4, 5 ear piercings? It must mean something. Cyrus, I mean, when you see a woman who has, let's say, 4 or 5 ear piercings, you know, and this is not judgment, no heat, no judgment, it's just a question. I can understand some would say, well, it's for fashion, or some would say it's for something. But as this article in the Wall Street Journal suggests, apparently it's common enough that it's, like they were saying in the article, maybe it's sort of an assertion of I'm not just a mom, or I'm not just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm not just middle-aged, what have you. What are your reactions when you see people, or maybe to put it this way, what if at some point down the road your daughter wanted to have 3, 4, 5, 6 piercings in her ears? What would your reaction be to that?
I don't know. I guess I haven't given it much thought. When I've seen older women with the ear piercings, I don't know. I don't give it any extra thought at all. It's the tattoos that are on the face region or on the neck that I'm like, oh, they're going to regret that. That, you know, you know, Mike Tyson regrets his big face tattoo. But if it comes
to, I mean, I've never heard him say that.
I don't think it's his wisest decision.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell him that to
his
face.
He's made a lot of unwise decisions, I think, in his career.
Yeah, I mean, if he asked, I'd be like, oh, it looks great, Mike. But yeah. If my daughter wanted to get, I'd let her get, you know, her ears pierced. And then I guess when she's over 18, she can do what she wants. I don't know. I guess I don't care.
What's the scene in high school? You have a son or daughter,
I think,
in high school.
Yeah, so I have heard my kid.
What's their take on it?
He was commenting just yesterday about all of the seniors, the 18-year-old seniors that are covered in tattoos. And I think that's going to be a mistake. The
boys and girls?
You know, he was just mentioning the men. He was talking about boys, the 18-year-old boys. But it's, I just tell him, like, look, Roland, there's all kinds of times in my life when I was growing up and I really loved something. And so I got a shirt and I wore that shirt till it was tattered. And by the time I was done with the shirt, I didn't really love that thing anymore. And I think tattoos are a lot like that, where you get something that is supposed to represent something in the moment, and time goes on. And all of a sudden, it's not as meaningful, and then you're tattooed. So if you like something, get a shirt. that's my advice.
Something temporary?
Get something temporary. Yep. Yeah. That's my advice.
Something that won't be there forever. Yeah, it's interesting to consider that there's a message being sent, and you know, what is the message?
What's the midlife crisis for us then? So if these women are getting these ear piercings, is it still like fast cars? Is that that's what I remember as a kid.
Perhaps it could be that. When I got into middle age, I had the option of, you know, getting a nicer car. So I got a midlife Chrysler. It was a minivan. And that was my midlife Chrysler, because we had kids at home and we needed a minivan.
Yeah, I'm driving a minivan. That's
so you midlife. Have your own midlife Chrysler.
I do, yep.
Yeah, and it was really, a Chrysler. It actually was a Chrysler.
It is.
Yeah, it was a Chrysler Town and Country. That was a great minivan. So yeah, I had my midlife Chrysler.
I'm
but I don't
that
know.
Joke.
I think anymore, I would think tattoos are probably unisex, where you've got people who want to express themselves, and tattoos is one way to do it. As I say, I don't understand it because to me it doesn't appeal at all, but I realize it's very fashionable and people tend to like it. You know, I can't help but wonder. I mean, I was going through the airport yesterday when I was coming back from Kansas City. A shout out to all of our new listeners in Emporia, Kansas, who were there at my talk on Saturday. Thanks for listening to Relevant Radio Now on the Relevant Radio app. But as I was coming back from Kansas City, I was at Chicago O'Hare, and there was a guy that got on the plane, the same plane that I was on. And it's just like the same thing. The guy, not super muscular, but, you know, more muscular than the average person. So clearly he was working out. But he had to have the shirt on with the cut-off sleeves because he wanted to make sure that everybody saw those muscles. And that's a common thing. You know, the guys who are working out tend to want to show off in that way. So they'll wear shirts where it's much more obvious. And for me, as I observe that, I look at that, or I consider, you know, people who get tattoos in very obvious places, they want to be seen, or they get a tattoo and then they wear their clothing in such a way that you can see the tattoo. And I guess my reaction to it is, you know, what is your reason for wanting people to see this? And obviously the chief of the sins, the capital sins, is pride. And vanity about one's personal appearance is a form of pride. So I can't help but wonder if maybe there's a vanity component in some cases, maybe not all. But that's something at least to be on guard against, that if it's purely for vanity, purely for, hey, look at me, you know, admire me, that is, I would say that's kind of going down a dangerous path, because obviously that's not something that we should be cultivating in a sense of undue vanity. I mean, you want to look nice, that's different. You want to look nice, you want to be presentable, you want to be dressed well, have your hair nice. I mean, those are all fine and, you know, nothing wrong about that. But I think it can go too far. And that's where I'm just fascinated by the culture of tattoos, is that it strikes me as though people are expressing themselves, yes, but seeming to maybe go beyond what I'm wondering, you know, beyond where we should be when it comes to wanting to be nice looking in public, but at the same time avoiding undue vanity. Does that make sense, Cyrus? Is what I'm saying? Do you follow the point I'm making?
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting that answer, but thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to Mary in Anaheim. Hi, Mary.
Hey, so I just read an article this morning about how after all these years of pro-choice and, you know, birth control and all these women rights kind of privileges, I guess you would say, quote unquote, that we're not any happier. And many women are still acting out, getting tattoos, getting these 5 million holes, whatever you have. They're on meds for depression, anxiety, what have you. And I just found that fascinating, that connection. And that's all I wanted to say. I got to get back to work, so thank you.
Okay. So maybe it's true in the case of some women, Mary, that because of past issues, you mentioned their pro-choice ideology, birth control, et cetera. Do you see that this expression, do you see that tattoos and things are an expression of that kind of a rebellion, and they want to show it in that way? Or what do you mean?
maybe acting out. Yeah, I think they're acting out. And I think also, you know, that woman who had IVF you mentioned in the article, I mean, she has killed, how many babies has she killed because of the IVF process? And whether she knows it or not, she's holding it in her heart. And we act out, right? Not, I mean, women, not me particularly, but we act out in so many ways. And so it could be alcoholism.
Oh, men do too. Men do too.
Anxiety.
So let me ask you a question, Mary. When you see somebody in, nobody goes to the mall anymore. So let's say in the grocery store or in some other place. If you see man or woman who's got a big, bold tattoo, maybe a sleeve on the arm or something like that, do you judge that person? Do you look down upon them? Do you make a value judgment when you see that kind of thing or no?
I don't know if I look down on them or make a value judgment. I think that something happened where they felt like they needed to act out in some way. But I don't think they're a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nor do I. But I do think people form judgments of other people on the basis of tattoos and multiple piercings. You know, that's I think it's inevitable. And whether or not it's fair or accurate is a different story.
Some people think it's cool, right? So that's a positive judgment, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't see it as anything negative or what have you. But anyway, I got to go.
I'll let you go, Mary. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jose now in South Texas. Hi, Jose.
Hey, Patrick. I just want to say that, once again, I think this is a product of the media, you know, of the left progressiveness.
What is?
You want to call it like that?
What is?
You know, all this, you know, having to do with tattoos.
Okay.
Gawkies, piercings. I'm not saying they're bad. Well, of course, the drug use is bad for sure. But I think we were.
I didn't hear that last part. What is bad for sure? You said a word. I didn't quite catch it.
Oh, sorry. For sure, drugs are bad, right?
What are?
I'm denying that. Illegal drugs. You know.
Oh, drugs. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for that. Yeah. I mean, throughout the years, like you said, in your time in high school, you wouldn't see that many students with tattoos.
I didn't see any students with tattoos. In fact, I have to go back and look at my yearbook because I honestly, out of 2,000 kids, when I graduated in 1978, I can't remember a single student that had a tattoo. Honestly, I can't. And I don't remember any of the staff or the teachers. I don't remember anybody having a tattoo. That doesn't mean that some didn't have them. But I can't remember anybody having them where they were visible. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I went to high school in the 2010s. I graduated in early 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was normal for me to see people with their ears and their noses pierced. And, of course, for them to have tattoos. So when I look back at, you know, the cartoons when I was a child, from people from the 80s, only the cool people had tattoos and piercings and stuff, right?
Right.
So I believe that all this is coming from the media, you know, from the cultural, I guess, media, you know, Hollywood, TV, whatever we have. And they made it to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, in my opinion, we all wanted to have a tattoo. I didn't want to have a tattoo once, but, you know, I saw so many people having them that I thought, well, what's the purpose, you know?
Did you get one?
No, I never did.
Okay.
But most of my friends have, and it comes from the smallest to the, you know, the whole arm that looks like a sleeve, right?
When you see a housewife at the grocery store, or you see, you know, some guy who's all tatted up, you know, maybe just a regular guy, do you form an opinion about that person when you see them, or does it just sort of bounce off and you don't care and you don't even think one way or the other about them?
I see it in so many people that I think is normal now. If something with my generation and younger, maybe that not having a tattoo, not having a piercing, I'm sorry, it's abnormal. So it can be looked upon, you know, for not having it.
So you and I are the oddballs.
Except,
because we're walking around untattooed and unpierced. So we stand out like a sore thumb.
And, you know, with your shirt tucked in as well, so that doesn't help either.
So when you see a man who's wearing an earring in one ear or the other, do you stop and say, what is that supposed to mean? Does that send a signal to you in some way?
oh, no, it just means he likes that trend. You know, he's into it. Because I grew up with it. I remember in the middle school, you know, that became the thing to pierce your ears. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the kids with big, you know, diamond earrings and yeah. stuff. So I grew up used to it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I think a lot of it is generational. So for one generation, it comes across differently than to another generation. And, you know, I don't think I'm an old fogey. Maybe I'm a young fogey. I'd like to think of myself as a young fogey. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but I have a feeling that my generation looks at these things differently in general, not everybody, but in general than, say, my kids' generation and my grandkids' generation. I think it's, like you said, it's societal, and a lot of it is promoted in movies and television programs and things like that. Anyway, Jose, thank you. Very interesting. I have to take a break, but I'll be right back with more of your phone calls right after this, so please stay right there.
Beautiful tats all over my back. Makes me so proud, I'm gonna shout it out loud. I got another tattoo, baby. Yeah. Another tattoo,
another tattoo, babe.
Another tattoo. Is this Weird Al?
No part of me is like I'm really ink obsessed. Yeah. It's like an art show the moment that I get undressed. Check at every job interview that just
tattoos. Alright,
I have a good friend that just texted me, and he said, and he has tattoos, and yeah. he said the new to rebel against this revolution is to rebel against this rebellion is to not get a tattoo.
So that's so it. I'm a rebel.
I have no tattoos, piercings, or abrasions.
I have none of the above. I can not check any of those boxes. So that's an interesting way to look at it, that in the culture we live in now, where tattoos are becoming more and more prevalent, piercings, etc. And this is basically bouncing off this article in the Wall Street Journal that theorizes that this uptick in Gen Z, Gen X women who are getting into their 30s now and into their 40s, that they are, I guess that wouldn't be Gen Z, would it be Gen X, that they are asserting something, and the question is this a sign of going through a kind of a midlife crisis where you get a tattoo or you pierce your ear four or five times as a way to show that you're still wild? You're still, you know, there's still that wild side. Maybe it is. I don't know. Not being pierced or tattooed, I don't know what to say about it, but it is interesting. Let's go to Joseph in Albuquerque. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Joseph.
I just wanted to comment on the, you know, the piercing and the tattoo
yeah.
Craze. You know, I'm a dad of five kids, you know, mm-hmm. and they're young. I graduated like you, I graduated in 79. Mm-hmm. And
the last of the red hot 70s.
Got it. And, you know, I got a couple of piercings in one ear. I was part of the motorcycle community. I mean, I think that's where that kind of,
okay.
you know, headed.
Okay.
And then I had a brother that was pretty tatted up, you know, I was in the military, and I couldn't wait to get my first tattoo when I turned 18. So mm-hmm. I ran down and got me a small tattoo, but I never got another one. Mm-hmm. And my brother, he was an artist. May he rest in peace. He always told me, he said, you know, no matter how beautiful the tattoo, it will always look jailhouse.
Interesting.
And
interesting.
You know,
so I take it you opted not to get the tattooed teardrop below your eye.
No.
Do you make value judgments about people? And I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just saying, I think all of us, when we look at people, we size them up and we make decisions about what we think about them. So when you see somebody who's got a tattoo or a bunch of tattoos or multiple piercings, do you draw some conclusions about that person?
Oh, yeah. I think we all, human nature, I don't like to see a tattoo on a woman. I just find it disgusting. I do not like to see a tattoo on a woman.
All the women out there with tattoos are saying, well, who cares what you think? You know, we have to...
You know, it is what it is. I mean, I have daughters, and I said, if you've got to really have a tattoo, I said, you can get a small one on the bottom of your foot. You know?
Imagine how uncomfortable that would be, having to sit still for somebody putting a tattoo on the bottom of your foot.
But
so bottom line for you, Joseph, you had a tattoo, but you're not... Let me ask you the question this way. Do you regret getting that tattoo, or is it just sort of, either way, it doesn't matter?
I regret it. I mean, even though it's nothing offensive and it's small. And, you know, the point I want to make out, too, is that there's a couple of things. It's like when you become a parent, you know, the earrings come out, you know, the rock and roll T-shirt goes away. I see so many
not if you're Cyrus Simcoe.
Trying to live. They try to live in this time of their youth, and it's like you need to leave that behind because you are a role model to your children. Monkey see, monkey do. They're looking at you. And, you know, I took the earrings out a long time ago, mm-hmm. you know. I cut the hair, you know. You've got to do these things. And back to the tattoos, yeah, if you see a guy wearing demonic tattoos, I mean, it's pagan, number one, and it's just you form an opinion saying, wow, that's a lost soul I got to pray for, you know. I mean, it's I don't want to see that, and I don't want to see offensive-looking tattoos, but, you know.
I'm assuming that that little one is in the background there, does not have any tattoos. Joseph, I got to press on. Thank you, though. I appreciate your perspective on this issue. We'll go to Oakland now and talk to David. Hi, David.
Hey, Patrick. I think that one of the reasons people get tattoos is they have a need for symbolism. If they're not involved in anything transcendent at all in their life, they kind of look at these statements that they put on their body as mm-hmm. symbols. And then a simple example would be somebody who lost a loved one, they get a tattoo of their loved one. Mm-hmm. If they are involved in the Catholic Church, they'd be praying for their soul. So this is kind of a substitute for you know, being involved in something that's greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that believers, followers of Jesus Christ, should be praying for the person as opposed to having a tattoo? Is that what you mean? Of
yeah,
that person?
But I also think that there are other symbols that they put on their body that have some type of meaning that they feel is transcendent, that they need people to see this and think about it or understand mm-hmm. some type of wisdom that they're projecting with these symbols
right.
that they put on themselves.
That's a good point. Now, I'm actually surprised that by now we haven't had a flood of calls from people who say, I'm a devout Catholic, I go to Mass, I pray the rosary, and I've got tattoos of Jesus and Mary, and it's a way to evangelize. I've met people who take that route, and they say that their tattoos are, in their eyes, a way to evangelize people. So I've heard that many times before. So are you saying that one way or the other, it's a symbol, whether a good one or a bad one or maybe indifferent, but it's still a symbol trying to express something that the person feels or believes about himself? Is that your point?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's my point. And my second idea is, I'm surprised nobody's come up with what I would call a temporary tattoo parlor, where you don't have to be 18 to get one. You could be any age. You go in and you get this body paint that lasts for a month. And if you like it, you permanentize it. If you don't like it, you're not stuck with it.
I think
you
there
can make
are
a lot of money because people keep coming back over and over again.
I think that exists. It seems like there are, I don't know if it's a henna tattoo or what they are, but something that will be on there for a time and then it washes off after a few weeks or something. I think those are out there. I just don't, I mean, not knowing that world, I don't really know how common they are, but I think that does exist.
Well, I think that's a good thing.
When you see somebody in Walmart, well, let's change the venue. When you see somebody in the grocery store, let's say you see a woman in the grocery store doing her grocery shopping for her family, and she's got all kinds of tattoos on her arms. Do you make a value judgment about her when you see that, or no?
I do, and I think that there's, when I see a, for some reason, and this is a reflex, I don't think this through, just kind of happens. When I see a woman with a lot of tattoos, I think there's a lot of pain behind that for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. I think when I see that, I ask the question to myself, you know, what is this person telling me? Because the tattoo is not there by accident. The tattoo is not there.
No.
You know, it's intended to send a message. And
they suffer for it. I mean, think about how much pain they go through. They suffer for that.
True, true. I mean, the pain of getting the tattoo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder about, you know, what is the motivation? What is the message? What does this mean? Because obviously it's intended to mean something. Is it vanity, perhaps? Is it an expression of, as the Wall Street Journal was saying, I'm still a wild, you know, kind of a wild streak? Or I don't think that any of us, if we're honest, sees people with tattoos and doesn't form an opinion one way or the other. And it may be a very positive opinion because, you know, oh, that person's part of my tribe, part of my group. I have a tattoo, they may say, therefore I see other people with tattoos. I like that. I see value in that, some people say. And I think others, and perhaps those who don't have tattoos, they look at it and they say, is that somebody who has poor judgment? Is that somebody who is vain? Is that somebody who is maybe going through something else and the tattoo is a way of expressing that? I think it's impossible right. to not form a judgment one way or the other. What do you think?
I agree. No, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. As you said, it's a reflex. It's you can't help it. It's reflexive.
Yeah, the judgment is a reflex. Yeah, and I think there's this idea. I think one of the things to question is this idea of what do you mean by cool? This word gets so overused, it's so ubiquitous, and nobody ever stops and think, what does that really mean? It used to mean that you were like James Dean. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's supposed to mean now, but and that's like the expected word is to say, oh, that's cool, or oh, this would be cool, you're cool. So there's a certain amount of that tied up with it too.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think there is, I think your point is a good one, that we do reflexively make decisions, or we make value judgments on people when we see things like that, for better or for worse, you know, and whether they're warranted or unwarranted, I think it's, it happens. If you were an employer, David, and you had two candidates, and one who had tattoos all over his hands and arms, and one who didn't, would you be inclined to hire one over the other? If it was just, let's just say, a neutral business, not a tattoo parlor, but just some neutral business, would you be inclined to hire one over the other on the basis of the tattoos?
I would just have to say it would affect my decision. That's probably the safest way to say it. It would right. affect my decision.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, David. Good to talk to you. I appreciate it. We'll go now to Charlene in Phoenix. Good morning, Charlene. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. I agree with everything David from Oakland said, and I was born in Oakland, so there you go. I wanted to add a little humor to the morning. My girlfriend's father-in-law was in the service, and he got a tattoo of a ship on his chest, and he was in, as he aged, he was in the assisted living, and they went to visit him, and he hadn't put his shirt on yet. And they're a very humorous family, very close. So she said, oh, Dad, your ship done sunk.
Okay, I get it. Gravity has its effects on the human body as you age. Is that the point you're making?
Yes.
You're right
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. And he's.
I mean, I've read about that. Said, I've yes. heard people say that before.
Yeah. And he said, oh, Barb, I regret this so much. Isn't it a mess? You know, something like that. And she's like, oh, Dad, we still love you. And then my other one is for Cyrus. I saw a new van, minivan, driving, you know, in my neighborhood. And the license plates weren't even on yet. And it had a little bumper sticker on the, it was on the windshield. And it said, I used to be cool.
Yeah. Cyrus, are you laughing?
You know.
All right. My favorite tattoo Not that I'm into tattoos, but my favorite tattoo, Charlene, I've seen it once or twice, is a guy, middle-aged guy, who's got a bald spot on the back of his head, and he has tattooed a guy pushing a lawnmower right around the edge of his hairline. Now that is funny. That's funny,
that
but
is funny.
When more hair falls out, then you've got the guy mowing the lawn on the bald spot. So you want to have that tattoo be able to move with the hairline, but unfortunately they stay where they are. Anyway, thanks for the call, Charlene. I appreciate it. We're going to go. Let's go quickly to Jim in California. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Ben. Good morning. Did you ever have this issue with any of your kids? Did they want to get one? Did they get one without your permission? Did they ask your permission?
Are you on a speakerphone? Because it's kind of hard to hear you.
Let's see.
How's that?
Much, much better. Thank you. So could you repeat the question, please?
It was a wireless. Sure. Your kids, did you ever have this issue with your kids, and did they get one without your permission, and how did you feel about it, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I have gone through this with one of my kids, and he did get one, and it, you know, could have been worse, but it was a Bible verse. It wasn't the words of the verse, it was just the name of the verse. And I told him, I said, why'd you do that? And it was because he and a buddy were, you know, they were feeling kind of religious, and they thought it would be a great idea to get this Bible verse tattooed. And so that was the long and short of it. But he knows that I thought that it was unnecessary for him to do that, but he wanted to do it. I have another son who, against my telling him don't ever do this, he jumped out of an airplane. You know, he went parachuting. Yeah, and he only told me and Nancy about it after the fact. He didn't tell us beforehand. But I was predictably unhappy about that too. But what can I do? They're grown-ups.
I can imagine. Yeah. One last thing on a more comical issue. I have a friend who told his daughters when they were in high school, if you ever get a tattoo and I see it or find out about it, I'm going to get the exact same tattoo. And he did it. And they stopped getting them.
See, there's a new trick you can use, Cyrus, with your kids.
I've seen that method used before with a daughter that was wanted to scantily dress for school. And so the dad said, if you're going to wear it, so am I.
He
did. And it was hilarious.
No.
And guess who stopped dressing like that?
No.
So small Jim, price to pay.
Jim, what if your daughter got a My Pretty Pony tattoo on her forearm? Would you go that far?
If my daughter wanted a tattoo?
No, I'm saying let's say this dad in question, if his daughter got a My Pretty Pony tattoo on her forearm, would he get a My Pretty Pony tattoo on his forearm? I don't think so.
Knowing this fellow, no, he would. I mean, he's kind of out there anyway.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Jim. Hey, I got to roll, but thank you very much. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. We have another segment to come right after this quick timeout. Please stay right there. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/foresters.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, now on Twitter, people are sending me pictures of their tattoos. No joke.
Oh, no.
Ronelle Jane, she sent me one. She said, it's on my right upper forearm. I'm 64, got this in December of 2020. It's my only one. Reminds me to pray the Hail Mary throughout the day. And it's an image of Our Lady, who looks like holding a rosary. Well, thank you, Ronelle. Thank you. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Jared now in Phoenix. Hi, Jared. Welcome.
Hello, Patrick. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Awesome. So my question, my wife was talking to someone who said that before the Second Vatican Council, non-Catholics, especially Protestants, were not allowed to go to Mass. I wasn't quite sure about that, so I thought I'd reach out to you.
Yeah, no, that's not true. Non-Catholics were certainly able to go to Mass. They were not able to receive communion, but they were able to go to Mass and be there, that's for sure.
All right, yeah, that it sounded similar to the argument that Catholics were never allowed to read Bibles, which is was also incorrect. So
right.
I just thought I'd, before I you know, said too much, I would get advice from someone who knew better than I. So thank you very much.
Thanks for the confidence, Jared. You know, for what it's worth, I have met umpteen people in my life who said, yep, when I was a kid, you know, these are people older than me, when I was a kid, the nuns told us we were not allowed to read the Bible. And I just shake my head in bafflement. I know that there was a time when it was deemed to be that's a Protestant thing to do in the eyes of some people, which is, you know, really cockamamie. But there were some people who had that attitude. But that's the furthest thing from my experience. And I asked my parents about that, and they said the same thing. They said they never saw or heard anybody say, don't read the Bible. But I do know people who for whom it was something they went through, which is strange and unfortunate. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Mike in Santa Ana. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
I am well, thank you.
Good. I don't really have a whole lot to say about the tattoo thing, but I love some of the suggestions about, because I have teenage daughters, but
okay.
About wearing the tattoo or the clothes of my daughters. Anyway, I thought that was great. But yeah, I had a question for you, and I'm hoping you can help me out here. I went to confession this weekend, and great priest, and I told him, obviously, my sins, and he gave me a penance, and the penance was just to say, I love God, or I believe in God. And I kind of was puzzled by that, and I said, is that it? And he said, well, God doesn't need your sacrifice. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He's perfect. There's nothing you can do. So you don't need to sacrifice anything to God. And I was like, huh? I just thought that was, I mean, I know God doesn't need to sacrifice, but I instantly thought about, well, what about the Mass, you know? And so I didn't want to have an argument with the priest in the confessional, you know, so it wasn't my place. And then he brought up the example of, he says, well, what happened with Abraham and Isaac? You know, I said, well, why didn't he, why was he going to sacrifice Isaac? And I said, out of obedience. And then he said, well, maybe. He said, but no, because that was part of the culture. So we don't do that anymore.
Sacrificing so like, your firstborn son?
I got to call Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad that this was, you know, that this was given to you, this advice. So let's talk about that briefly. The thing is, the penance that you're given is not for God, it's for you. And it's expiation of the temporal effects due to sin. Now, keep in mind that, and maybe this is where the priest's confusion came in, he may have been thinking about Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross, which takes away the penalty due to sin, and only okay. Jesus can do that. You and I can't do that. But there is, in any sin, there's also a second component, which is the effects of the sin. So the effects of the sin, if you want to think of it as a scar or a stain, these are just analogies, but they might be helpful. Our penance serves as restitution, and it takes away, it removes those effects due to sin, which has nothing to do with the penalty due to sin, which Jesus alone paid the price for. So restitution is trying to restore things to how they were before you committed the sin. Now, there's no way to do that on a one-to-one basis because so many sins, you know, there's no way to put a value on it. There's no way to put an amount, let's say, of penance on it. So it's unfortunate that he's doing that in the confessional because people need to receive a penance that's something substantial. I've from time to time run into priests who say, well, as your penance, I want you to say something nice to your wife today. And I'm thinking to myself, mm-hmm. Father, I say a million nice things to my wife every day, and that's not a penance. It sounds as though he just maybe missed class that day in the seminary where they explained the theology of the sacrament of confession, but at least you know better. And see, the thing is, you can just simply choose a penance of your own that you'll say, well, in lieu of the priest not having given me a real penance, I will undertake to pray the rosary, or I will undertake to give alms, or I will undertake to do something else. And then you're doing penance for your sins. It's ideal when the priest gives a thoughtful and appropriate penance, but even if he doesn't, you can still fill that in for yourself.
That sounds good. No, it's funny because I think you spoke about this on Friday. And so when I went to the confession, I was like, well, again, I don't want to lecture the priest on the whole idea of temporal sin and the whole mark and the scarring. And you mentioned about the nail and pulling the nail out and filling out. And there's a hole there. So again, I don't want to lecture a priest, you know? So that was just, I just thought this is great. Because I thought, yeah, I mean, that kind of reaffirmed my understanding of what the idea of penance was for. And that, yeah, I know it wasn't for God, but it's, you know, that idea of sacrificing is, because we give meat on Fridays or you know, fast. Those are all things that you don't do necessarily, but you do that as a way for prayer to offer up, you know.
That's
and
right.
So I just.
Yeah, that's for our benefit.
That he would say that.
Not for God's benefit.
Correct.
He doesn't need those things, but right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I appreciate it. This is an important topic. I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you. We'll go to Salt Lake City now and talk to Darlene. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Patrick. So I have a question. I'm 40, and I have a daughter that's going to be 23. Mm-hmm. She's a full-time student at the U. She works full-time, and for like 3 or 4 years, she's been asking to get a nose piercing. Mm-hmm. And we've always said no. So I was wondering, I hear a lot of parents be like, well, once she's 18, she should be able to do whatever. What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, I personally don't like them. I think they detract, you know, from the general appearance, but I realize it's somebody's own personal choice and, you know, people are free to make that choice. So, yeah, I mean, even though I wouldn't encourage her to do that and I would discourage her from doing that, if she's 23 years old, she's certainly free to do that. And the culture now sees that, you know, a nose piercing, for example, sees that as something cool and something nice. So although I don't share that view and you don't share that view, a lot of other people do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And she's been, I mean, we asked her, well, what's the purpose for it? And she just like, well, it would just look cute. And, you know, we're just like, no, I think you look cute just with, you know, without it. Yeah. But I mean, we've been like, thank God she's listened to us. You know, she's respected our, we just think, you know, as long as you live under our roof, you follow our rules. And she's been good about that. But I just don't think, are we being too strict? Are we?
If it were me, here's what I did. And, you know, obviously I want to protect my children's privacy. So I tried not to talk about too many things that are private to them. But in my family, one of my daughters, I went through exactly the same thing. And she asked and asked and asked, and I said, no, no, no. And eventually when she got into her young adulthood and she no longer had to ask me for permission, she got a nose piercing. And I said, oh, I wish you hadn't done that. And she says, well, I think it's pretty. And I said, okay, if you think it's pretty, even though, you know, you're an adult now, so you can do that. And that's where we left it. So she knows how I feel, but I don't nag her about it. And I certainly don't criticize her or anything like that. I love her. But she knew going into it that this was something that wouldn't please me. And then she did it. And so she, you know, that's her thing. She has to live with it. And that's the way I approach it. I still love her as much today as I did then. And I'll always love her. And, you know, that will never change. But if my children ask me, Dad, would it be okay with you? Or what do you think if I do this? I'm going to tell them the truth. And then eventually they have to make their own decisions. Thanks, Darlene. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Kathy in Wisconsin. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I had 3 daughters that were just out of high school. They were like freshman, sophomore, and junior in college. And they were home on Holy Saturday and had plans to get tattoos, but I didn't know that. But they were being real secretive, and I thought, ooh, they're getting me something. They're being, you know, well, yeah.
They got you something, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the oldest one had been visiting my sister, which is her godmother, during the day. So me being nosy, I called her while the girls were gone. I'm like, oh, so you know what the girls are doing today? She goes, oh, you mean the tattoos? And I went, tattoos? And she's like, no, cashews. They went to go get cashews.
So they didn't get tattoos?
Like, oh, they did. They came home and they all each have the exact same thing on their lower back with their each of their initials and a little Chinese symbol, even though my husband says, you don't really know what that says.
Right, right. And so it's on their lower back, is that what you said?
Lower back. And it's small, but it has their initials, JCA. They all are identical. And now it's like, as adults, it's like none of them ever got another tattoo again, but it was, to them, it was meaningful.
Yeah.
But, you know, wasn't what I wanted at the time. But the same daughter also got her nose pierced when she was in college. And my husband and her compromised. She said she'd take it out if he quit smoking.
the story gets funnier the more it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ask them to have somebody who speaks Chinese translate that for them, because you don't want something.
Yeah, I know.
Untoward.
They thought it. They said it's supposed to say sisters or something like that.
Yeah, it could say anything. Who knows what it says? I don't even want to conjecture what it might say. I don't speak Chinese. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. All right, time's up for today. We'll be doing it again, same Pat time, same Pat channel tomorrow. And until then, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.